Yep, he's planning another project. So this Father's Day at Lowe's, tap into free gifts for dad. Get a free select Craftsman power tool when you buy a Craftsman V20 charger with 2 amp hour and 4 amp hour batteries. Plus, get a free DeWalt power tool when you buy a select 20 volt max XR 4 amp hour battery kit. Dad knows our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/14 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
I'm John Batchelor with Professor Gary Bass. The book is Judgment at Tokyo, World War II on Trial and the Making of Modern Asia. The judges include one particular scholar, international law scholar, Rabbinod Pal, born 1886 in Bengal province, then part of the British Empire, the British Raj, now part of Bangladesh. He is extremely well-educated as a young person. Strikingly, his father leaves the family, and he's raised by a determined mother with his two sisters. He has gifts in many directions and goes to law school in Calcutta. He's a Hindu, but he's a man way before the 20th century, way before his time in the 20th century. Professor, spending time with Paul in your book is a pleasure because it's a glimpse of another world, of a man who understood here in the 21st century we're going to struggle with tolerance. What do we need to know about his education and his skills and why he was chosen for the court?
So he's, I'm so glad that you liked him because he's one of my favorite figures. And one of the great pleasures of writing this book was spending time with his children and grandchildren in Calcutta, who very generously shared memories of their father and their grandfather. He is from, you know, an absolutely self-made man who brought himself up from rural poverty in Bengal, part of British India, to rise to be at the pinnacle of academia in Bengal at the time. He's the head of a great university in Calcutta, and is a very impressive legal scholar. He's not actually trained in international law, although it is universally believed, not universally, but it's widely believed in Japan that he was the only real legal expert there. He's a national hero in Japan to this day because of his dissent, that he says that all of the defendants should be acquitted. He questions the legitimacy of the court, and writes this spends most of the trial writing this remarkable dissent, which runs to sort of 1,200 pages, where he complains about the biases and legitimacy of the court. It's a very complicated but very powerful dissent with a bunch of different elements, but he's an absolutely extraordinary figure, and he's one of my favorite characters in the book. I felt privileged to be able to spend time with him.
It is time to address the tangle of empires. Judge Paul is keen on Pan-Asianism, and that is an understanding that the Asian peoples have a great deal in common, not the least of which is abuse by the European empires, the Dutch in Indonesia, the British in Singapore, and throughout the whole of China. At some point, Hong Kong certainly, the U.S. and the Philippines, the French in Indonesia. The Germans were defeated, and so they were not present. Their possessions were taken over by European powers. And the Japanese Empire presented itself to the people it's about to conquer as the inventors of the Greater East Asia co-prosperity sphere. Paul has a vision of that himself. And that contributes to his thinking about this trial being illegitimate. What is the word he used? Incorrect? We have no power over these people? How does he present it? Because it's a 1,000-page dissent.
Yeah. He treats, so first of all, empire, exactly as you say, empire is critical to Paul's thinking. And also racism, right? That for Paul, racism is the predicate of empire, that in order to set up an empire, you need to believe that the people who you're colonizing are inferior. And Paul is one of the judges. The Chinese judge also believes this, who is bitterly resentful of European and American colonialism. Paul's dissent treats, so it puts empire at a central place. And remember, this is a court, it has 11 judges, many of whom are from colonial powers. There's a Soviet judge, there's a French judge who's speaking not just for France, but for war crimes committed against Vietnamese. There's a Dutch judge who speaks for war crimes committed against Indonesians, a British judge, and there are there's also a Filipino judge who sort of actually gets to speak for the Philippines. But they're Canadian judge, New Zealand judge. So there's a lot, you know, the majority of the judges, if you add them up, are representatives of imperial powers. And Paul is upset about this. It really bothers him. He signals from very early on that he's going to dissent and spends most of the trial writing a massive dissent. And in the dissent, he argues that a lot of what Japan was doing could be seen as acts of self-defense against encroachments of European colonial powers or over-militarized Americans into the region. He thinks the notion of conspiracy is nonsense. And perhaps the one thing that is commonly said by Paul's admirers in Japan today is, well, he never denies any of the Japanese atrocities. And that's not true. Paul, in fact, in his dissent, questions the quite good Chinese evidence about Japanese conduct at Nanjing and questions eyewitnesses to massacre and rape. Paul says that he doesn't find these witnesses to be credible in ways that, you know, these witnesses were perfectly credible to all the other judges. And having gone through their testimony, it paints an overwhelming picture of Japanese brutality at Nanjing. I think, you know, I don't think it leaves any doubt that clearly there were terrible, terrible atrocities committed at Nanjing. And Paul does put himself in the position of someone who is somewhere between denying or minimizing these atrocities. And later on, actually, after the trial is over, uses the same arguments to question evidence about the Holocaust. So on the one hand, he's this fascinating figure, and he's the only guy who, in his opinion, directly confronts the issues, the issue of racism, puts empire at center stage. On the other hand, he lapses into Holocaust denial.
Yeah.
And it's sort of fascinating to read. It's always interesting as a, you know, as an author to read reviews of your books. But it's interesting to me that that some of the people who are cheering for Paul, you know, seem not to have noticed that he's also from time to time a Holocaust denier.
He went too far. But then again, we're talking about 1948. So we come to the executions. It's Christmas time, 1948. They're to die, I believe it's 12:01 a.m. December 23rd in two groups. Striking, and Tojo's among them. He's in the first group. Tojo, striking to me is that they yell out Banzai. That was, it's a dramatic moment, Gary. Was that reported at the time?
They don't want to talk about it at the time. It is, so Banzai, which is a battle cry, it's short for Long Live His Majesty the Emperor. And the army men are leading chants of it as they're being led to the gallows soon after midnight in this macabre scene. And there are official onlookers for the execution, from the major powers. And they hear these chants of Banzai. And that's something where, it's in the press. People know that Tojo was chanting it. It's in the newspapers. But it's a very uncomfortable thing. And it certainly, that is also uncomfortable. It's both, I mean, it's Banzai is used as a war cry, but the specific meaning of it is uncomfortable to the American occupiers who are trying to repurpose Hirohito as somebody useful to the American-led occupation. It's not ideal to have Tojo on his way to the gallows screaming, "Long live His Majesty the Emperor."
The execution was an order from the court. It was not a unanimous order. Does that weigh on this? Was that a consideration? Because it went to the Supreme Court just the way the MacArthur's execution went to the Supreme Court. Not unanimous. That strikes me as discordant with here in the 21st century, how we regard the death penalty.
Yeah, I mean, at the time they say that, the present day where most countries, the United States being an exception, but most countries have gotten rid of the death penalty or in the process of getting rid of the death penalty. But the fact that there are a variety of dissents, that there's a dissent from the Dutch judge, from the French judge, this massive dissent, the most important one from the Indian judge, Judge Paul. There are also concurring opinions from the Australian chief judge and the Filipino judge. The Filipino judge, whose concurrence is actually sort of arguing with Paul, saying that Paul is out of line. So you have this sort of the Filipino judge arguing with the Indian judge. But the discord among the judges calls into question, for a lot of Japanese, the legitimacy of this verdict. And then when the Supreme Court says that they're going to take a look at it, then that adds to the Japanese sense that maybe this whole thing, that maybe the allies themselves aren't so certain about it. The Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, hears oral arguments in front of it, but they come to a very simple conclusion rather than picking up sort of these large questions of, what does it mean that there are dissents, or you're going to execute people on that basis, where there are, a pretty strong claim from the Dutch judge that some of these defendants should be, are innocent. But the court goes for kind of the more minimal ruling, which is that they say, this is not a part of the U.S. judiciary. It's an international tribunal. And therefore, the federal courts of the United States don't have power over it. So they go for a very narrow jurisdictional reading. And when that, which is the Supreme Court, when it chooses to be expansive, it can be expansive. There are certainly, some of the clerks and some of the judges, some of the justices see issues that would allow them to give a much more expansive ruling. And instead they decide we're going to let the Truman administration do whatever they need to do here.
Most all the others are convicted and given life sentences. They do not serve them out, of course. And the general arresting that's going on stops now. And although MacArthur will purge former officials from the ranks of government, that will all be reversed. Japan is successfully democratized. However, the professor now takes us into the future. And when we come back, the Chinese judge, Mei, and his fate, and how it connects here in the 21st century to the tension in Asia. The book is Judgment at Tokyo, World War II on Trial and the Making of Modern Asia. Gary Bass is the author.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.